We were discussing the sifat and attributes of the Imam, and we already talked about the ilm and ismat and shida'at and zuhud, and now we will discuss that Imam has to be afdalur ra'iyyah. That means most superior in among them. Most superior as compared to the rest of the people. If there is somebody in the community who is superior than the Imam, then Imam will become mafdool, which means inferior. And an inferior is not supposed to lead, so he can no longer be the leader. Inferior, mafdool, cannot lead over afdal. This is qabih. Aqlan wa shar'an. That means in terms of human intellect and in terms of the sharia, both, it is condemned that an inferior leads in the presence of the superior. Man amma qawman wa fihim. Man amma qawman wa fihim a'lam minhu. Whoever leads a nation, and in that nation there is more knowledgeable than him, in that nation there is somebody who is more knowledgeable than him, lam yazal amruhum fi sitar. Their affairs is going to go down. So it is not, Islam does not support the leadership of anyone who doesn't have the most knowledge. So the leadership role has to be given to the one who is the most knowledgeable. So, our Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, was the afdal and most superior among all the humanity, and the Imam who is supposed to be sitting on the position, on the place of Rasulullah, has to be afdal in order to be able to sit on the place of the Prophet. So that's why we believe that Imam Amirumi alayhi salam was afdal and superior than all the previous Prophets other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and everyone else. And the dalil of Amir Umi alayhi salam being afdal than everyone else is the most concrete evidence, is obviously the ayatul mubahala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa anfusana here in the place of ourselves. And for Sana, Prophet took Imam Ali Rasulam only. And this is a concrete evidence that Imam Ali Rasulam is Musawi and equal to the Prophet, other than the Mansab of Nubuwwat and Risalat. First of all, Prophet is the most superior, and the one who is sitting on his place has to be the most superior as well, to be his deputy and vicegerent. And Ayatul Mubahala is the second, is the evidence to prove that Imam alayhi salam is the most superior of all. And third of all, we find the Prophet standing in need of Imam Ali Rasulam and calling him. So Prophet calling Imam Ali alayhi salam for help. As compared to any other companion, Prophet was muhtaj and standing in need towards that. So he called Imam Ali Rasulam for help, and Imam Ali Rasulam was the one who provided the help. This is another evidence for Imam Ali being the most superior of all the ashab. If there was anyone more superior and more suitable to do the job, he would help. He would have taken the place of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Fourth of all, we find that no one in the entire history claimed to be maqsoom. None of the people of Banu Umayyah or Banu Abbas ever claimed to be masoom. There is no historical evidence whatsoever for anyone's claim. And anyone was masoom, you would have found people trying left and right to justify their ismat and supporting their ismat. No one ever claimed to be the masoom. So, no one was masoom other than Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and obviously no time can be without the presence of a masoom who is the hadi and guide. So, ismat was never claimed by anyone other, in that time or even after that time. So it's only the Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Salam, which is another proof for Imam Ali Rasulam to be the most superior of all the people of his time, because none of the people of his time claimed to be the masoom ever in the history. It is to be noted that we believe in our belief system that every prophet and Imam, likewise, who is the deputy of the Prophet, must be free of repelling illnesses, professions, attributes. These are things which are contradictory to his status of being afdal and more superior. Any kind of illnesses which are repulsive repels the people away from him. Examples: leprosy, disarm, birds, leprosy, and other illnesses in which the flesh of a person falls down, or there is different kinds of liquids flowing out of your body. This is very much repulsive. People don't feel like getting close to such sick people. Our belief system says that any prophet and any imam has to be, you know, free from all the repelling illnesses and also the professions. There are some of the professions which the society considers to be not as dignified. So imam or the prophet can never engage in those professions, like being a barber, for instance. Or a massage, somebody who gives the massage. Isn't it right? Yes. So, and things like that. Or a janitor. No prophet in the history of humanity ever engaged in any of these professions. That's not in Islam. So any of the lowly, so-called, or less dignified professions cannot be, you know, adopted by any prophet or the imam. We don't believe in what some of the sects of Islam say about Prophet Yaqub, Jacob, alayhi salam, that Prophet Shu'ayb, alayhi salam, that he was subjected to those of the illnesses in which there were insects coming on his wounds. This is not acceptable, and this is not right, and that's a tuhmat and slander of the Prophet. Prophet will never be subjected by Allah with illnesses that are repelling and turn the people away from him. This is a very repelling illness. If you have insects sitting on your wounds, nobody would bother to come close to you. Prophet was never subjected to that illness. That's a lie. It's a slander and tuhmat. We never say that about Prophet Shu'ayb. And likewise the attributes. Any kind of attributes which make the Prophet inferior can never be found in his personality. So he's the most superior from every aspect. Obviously, in Islam, there is no room for ghulu. Ghulu, which means saying what they themselves didn't say. Saying about the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt what they did not say themselves, and raising them higher than their own status, or taking them on a status which makes them, you know, equal to God or something like that. You know, uluhiyyat. So this is obviously haram. If anybody talks about, considers the Ahlul Bayt to be God, or, you know, parallel to God, equal to God, that's haram to consider them to be parallel to Allah. Nobody can be parallel to Allah. And Islam does not allow to say things which means raising their status more than what they themselves have said. We can't do that. We can say what we have been told. And obviously, what we have been told is also a very high thing, and we cannot even comprehend that highness. But that's the way we have to stick to that highness. We cannot go beyond what we, beyond that, so that we may not end up saying things that make them equal to Allah, because they are not equal to Allah. Nobody can be equal to Allah. No creature can be equal to Allah. Ghulu is obviously kufr in Islam, equals to disbelief, and it takes us out of the limits and bounds of Islam. The history of the Ashab and companions is it proves that they used to turn to Imam Ali alayhi salam seeking help in various incidents. 70 times Hazrat Umar had said, "Lawla Aliyun la halaka Umar," recorded by the history. If Ali was not there, Umar would have been destroyed. So Ashab have been turning towards him. In our belief, we do respect Ashab as well, very much. Ashab and companions. Among the companions, they were very people of very high status. And we respect all of them who had the high status. The criteria in Islam is in akramakum. Allahi Atqakum. The most superior and the most honored and dignified, we learn in the light of this verse, whomsoever has more taqwa has more dignity and respect in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. So taqwa is the criteria of a high status. So there were some ashab and companions who had high taqwa and piety. We respect all of those companions. But also Surah Al-Munafiqun, and some of the verses of Surah An-Nur, and likewise some of the verses of Surah Al-Bara'. Are evidences that they were. So in the light of these verses, we understand that there were munafiqeen present in the time of Rasulullah. They were hypocrites. And some of these verses, Surah Al-Munafiqun, the whole chapter, and some of the verses of Surah Al-Bala'at and Surah An-Nur are the evidence about the existence of munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah. And certainly, Quran condemns with severe condemnation of the munafiqeen. And some of them were collaborating against the Holy Prophet, and some of them after the Prophet fought against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thousands and thousands of people died, and both sides of the conflict can never be held equal. There has to be an oppressor and there has to be an oppressed. Oppressor and oppressed cannot be held equally. 18,000 people died in the Battle of the Camel alone. 1,000 from Imam Ali's side and 17,000 from the other side. So we cannot hold the oppressor and the oppressed equally. So the one who oppressed, who was oppressed, has to be supported, and the one who oppressed oppressed others has to be opposed. Shedding the blood of innocent is haram, and breaching the bay'at of the imam, naqsul bay'ah, breaching of the oath of allegiance towards an imam, is a big haram, and that's not allowed in Islam. So there were people who breached their covenant and oath with the legitimate imam, shed, and also there were some who shed the blood. You cannot justify killing of the innocent people just by saying it's a khata fil ijtihad. It was a mistake in a personal approach. Just by saying that, you cannot justify the killing of thousands of people. Those of the ashab who supported the sunnah of Rasulullah, stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah, are respectable and did not make a change in their behavior and policy and their belief, and continue to support the imam and the khalifa of Rasulullah on the path of the sunnah of the Prophet, are very much respectable. Whereas those who did not stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah cannot be held respectable. لا تجدوا قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. So we learn in the light of this verse that those people who believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment cannot love those who fight against Allah and His Messenger, even though they may be their brothers or their parents or ancestors or whatever. So if anybody fights against Allah and His Messenger, this person cannot be loved, even though he may be our relative. We are clear in our principles. Even if our own relatives start fighting against Allah and His Messenger, we won't support them. We won't hold any respect for them. And those of the ashab who were muttaqi, we respect them. Quran says in Surah At-Tawbah, As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajireen wal-ansar wal-ladheen attaba'uhum bi-ihsanin radiyallahu anhum wa radu ankum. So we learn in the light of this verse that those early ones from the migrants and the muhajirin and the ansar, the helpers, and those who followed them, basically the nice ones, the good ones, who basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم. From them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is راضي, Allah is راضي and pleased from them, and they are pleased with Him. So obviously the good ones, Allah is pleased with them, and those good ones, and we respect all those, but those who were not muttaqi and pious cannot be respected. Now we have to have a look how ashab and companions have been turning towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. we are discussing Ruju'ul Ashab. The companions of the Prophet. Turning towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. First of all, it's narrated in from Ibn Abbas. إِذَا حَدَّثَنَا ثِقَةٌ بفتية لا نعدوها So he says, Ibn Abbas says, this narrated in Tabaqat. Tabaqat Ibn Sa'd. Page number 2, and volume number 2, and page number 388. So Ibn Abbas says that whenever an authentic person narrates to us any narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Futya, about any ruling of Islam, we never violate it. I mean, we accept Futya and Fatwa. These are two, and one of the same things, two words for the same thing. Futya means fatwa. So whenever a ruling of Islam is narrated to us through an authentic person telling from Imam Ali alayhi salam, we always accept it, we never violate. So that's the source of learning the Islamic rulings. This is the first evidence. Second evidence is from Abu Huraira. He says that Qala Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, Aliyun Aqbal. Ali is the best judge amongst us. This is narrated also from Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, volume 2, page 339. So the best judge among us half was Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, third evidence of the Ashab turning towards Imam Ali and considering him to be the source is from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. And he says, Qala Umar. Umar said, Qala, actually, Qala, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib said, Kana Umar يتعوذ بالله I wrote here لولا علي لهلك عمر. That was a mistake. It's not عمر, it's عمر. لولا علي. If you have written, please make a correction. لَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَهَلَكَ Umaro, not Umarun. So, كان عمر يتعوذ بالله من معضلة ليس فيها أبو الحسن. Umar used to seek the refuge towards Allah from any problem for which Imam Abu al-Hasan, Imam Ali was not there to resolve it. So he used to seek refuge towards Allah that he should not be, he should never be in a situation facing any problem where Imam Ali is not there to help him out from that problem. And this is also narrated from Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd in the same volume, in the same page, volume 2 and page 339. Fourth of all, the fourth evidence of Ashab turning towards Imam Ali is from Uzayna. Al-Abdi. He says that Ataytu Umar Ataytu Umara Fasa'altuhu Min Aina A'tamir. I came to Umar and I asked him, from where shall I start my Umrah? Min ayna a'tamir? From where, what is the starting point of Umrah? Where shall I start my Umrah? Faqala, Umar replied to me that i'ti aliyyan فاسأله. Go to Ali and ask him. This is narrated in Zakhair al-Uqba. Page number 79. That's the fourth example. Now let's move to the fifth one. Here in the fifth one, the narrator says, I asked Aisha that Anil Mas. على المسح على الخفين خفين means the shoes. So this narrator says, I asked Aisha about doing the masah, wiping your hand over the shoes in the wudu. فقالت, she replied to me. I mean, is that okay in Islam? What he is asking her is it okay in Islam to do the mask and wudu over the shoes or not? She replied, فقالت, ائت عليا فاسأله. Go to Ali and ask him. This is also narrated in the Zakhair al-Uqba. Page 79. So that's the fifth one.
Yeah, I'm coming close there.
Fifth one, and then the sixth one is from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, a very famous companion of the Prophet. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says that he heard the Prophet, he heard Omar saying, "Innahu." سمع عمر يقول أبو سعيد الخدري is an authentic person, is regarded to be a ثقة, an authentic companion in terms of his narrations. سمع عمر يقول لعلي, he says that I heard Omar saying to Ali, وَقَدْ سَأَلَهُ. These are evidences about Ashab and companions turning to Imam Ali salam in the history from the various Sunni sources. وَقَدْ سَأَلَهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَجَابَهُ. Umar asked Imam Ali about something and he replied to him. So after he got the reply, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says, I heard Umar saying, after he got the reply, he said, "A'udhu billah, I seek refuge towards Allah, through Allah, an a'isha fi yawmin, to survive. I seek refuge through Allah to be alive, to be living in a day where you are not present. Fi yawmin lasta fihi." Ya Abu al-Hasan. So he said that I seek refuge through Allah, not to survive for a day, not to be living for a day where you are not present there. This is also narrated in the same Safa'ir Uqba, and the same, the page is different. The page is page number 89, the same book. It is narrated in the Hadith of Saqalain. I will just mention that and then we'll end the discussion here. We'll continue that inshallah in the next class. So, in the end of Hadith al-Saqalain, according to some of the narrations, it is narrated that the Prophet said, فَلَا تُقَدِّمُوهُمَا. فَتَهْلِكُوا. Don't take a lead over them, or you would be devastated. That means don't take a lead over Quran and Ahlul Bayt. وَلَا تَقْصُرُوا عَنْهُمَا. And don't stay behind from them. In other words, فَتَهْلِكُ, or you will be destroyed. Thank you. وَلَا تُعَلِّمُهُمْ
And don't teach them anything.
فَإِنَّهُمْ أَعْلَمْ مِنْكُمْ
Because they are more knowledgeable than you.
This is the narration according to As-Sawa'iq.
Al-Muhriqa. Page number 151. And that's another Sunni book, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and also page number 328. So, inshallah, we'll continue a little bit of this remaining thing, and then we'll give the examples how in various Islamic sciences, according to the sources of authentic sources, scholars of various sciences have been turning towards Imam Ali alayhi salam, directly or indirectly. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على